Good morning. Happy fall break to you. Man, when I think about fall break, I think about trips. I think about, of course, our people that are traveling and praying for them as they're away. But I think about my most recent trips. And my most recent trip was around 4th of July. We went to Christmas, Indiana. How many of you have ever been to Christmas, Indiana? It's awesome. Holiday World is where we went. Anybody been to Holiday World? It is a theme park or amusement park with roller coasters, but also split in half is a water park. So you can do both in one day, the best of both worlds in one day. And so we did that. We did the water park at the beginning, and there was this huge, massive, bigger than I've seen in any water park before, massive little, okay, massive and little don't fly. It was this massive area for kids to play. It was just like this, the biggest, baddest jungle gym ever. And in the middle of it, you ever seen those big buckets where the water fills it and eventually it dumps? This one was big as a house. And people just gathered. I mean, near 100 people gathered underneath the bucket with great anticipation for what was about to occur. And I wasn't about to do it. My toes were in the water. I'm cooled off. It's a hot day. Go ahead, kids. Let me see you just go rushing through with a wave of water. It's about to destroy you. But here's the thing. I've only seen like half its size before, or even smaller, right? And so here we are. We're waiting. We're anticipating. And there it goes, slowly, and you see this rush. I mean, it's like a tsunami wave of water about to destroy every person underneath. And I'm like, did you have to sign a waiver before you got on that thing? Because it came down, it was so much water that people were losing their breath. They were, and they would have to run out from underneath of it to catch their breath while it was still falling. Man, does it remind me of 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished on us. That we should be called children of God. What great love the Father has lavished upon us. So much love that we can't comprehend, so much love that we can't begin to fathom even how to participate in it. But when you stand underneath of his lavishing love long enough, the awe factor is going to increase to a level that causes you to lose your breath. Who wants to be so lost in his love, so lavished in his love that you near lose your breath because it overwhelms you so much? Who's with me this morning? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. I don't know how many of you feel beat down by life. You just are struggling. You're overwhelmed by different elements of life. But somebody here needs to know today that God not only loves you, but he lavishes. Any of you ever tried to lavish your spouse or lavish a friend or lavish somebody with love? You gave it everything that you had, and you had full intentions on just pouring your everything into them. It's hard work. It's almost nearly impossible for us as frail, weak humans to do that. But God loves you so much that he bestows upon you and I a lavishing love. Amen? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. So let me ask you a question as we wrap up this relationship series. And let me go ahead and tell you before I get into this question is that next week we start a very widely needed series called Rock Bottom. And it's all about addiction. And we're trying to understand addiction through the lens of Christ's love is what we're going to be doing. And I want to challenge you as people are coming back from fall break and people that are in your neighborhoods, people that are in your families, of course, your own life. We're going to be covering a lot of different areas when it comes to addiction. And it's not just going to be about the top three that everybody tends to think of with addiction. We're going to go deeper than that. It's not just going to be drugs and alcohol. We're going that direction. That's where we're going to land a lot of the time. But I want to challenge you. I want to urge you. I want to prod you to get your people here. To invite them, invite them, invite them. Even if you yourself struggles with addiction, you definitely know others because you're probably not experiencing whatever element of addiction it is on your own. And so bring your people to hear about how we can corporately, as we're praying, as we're sowing for a great awakening, we believe that this series is going to hit home with a lot of people. Amen? Amen? So let me ask you a question today. How can God bless a broken heart? How many of you, in all honesty, I love transparency. I love vulnerability. How many of you would be honest and say you've asked that question for yourself? How can God bless? How can God put back together? How can God heal my broken heart? Who's with me? Who's ever asked that question before? Because life is tough. Life is hard. Life is difficult. And somebody said, amen. Shoot, yeah. We are a broken people, and nothing in the world works perfectly, right? All right, life is full of losses. We have defeats, we have disappointments, we have sorrow, we have suffering all around us. And on top of that, on top of an already broken world, some of us here today are hurting, trying to experience life after love. You've either experienced divorce or death that has broken your marriage apart to some degree, either completely through divorce, or completely in the physical sense, through death. And on top of that, that loss of a spouse or divorce, through divorce or death, I can't imagine the incredible, difficult wall that you encounter every day. Your life has hit a wall. You are mourning the loss of something incredible. And right out of the gate this morning, I want to tell you, Matthew 5:4, I want you to look me dead in the eye, if that's you today, because I just want to wrap my arms around you. I just want to tell you that I love you. I want you to know that it's going to be okay, but I'm not where you're at. So all I can do is look at Scripture and to see the truth and to see how God lavishes his love upon us through his word. And in Matthew 5:4, it says, blessed are those who mourn. Some of you are mourning. Some of you are grieving today. For they will be, say it with me, comforted. And so my prayer this morning is that your soul will be comforted, if that's you. And I believe that no matter where you're at, that some of these points are going to hit home with you. I want to take today in two different directions. I want to provide hope and healing and momentum to those of you that have been divorced and you're still hitting that wall every day, and then those of you who are widowed. And so to the divorce today, what my heart to you is that I know that there's a season that you've been through, or maybe you're still in the midst of it, when you can't walk into a room, or you couldn't walk into a room without feeling like every eye was peering at you. Yep, I'm the Christian who's divorced. Everybody, here I am. And no matter what anybody else says, that's what you feel, right? When you got married, you thought it would be forever. We knew Jesus. We were in love. But somewhere along the way, the relationship began to break down. And after a very difficult, heart-wrenching process, the divorce papers were served. And this is a lot of our people. This is a lot of the people that are in church today that feel isolated, that feel secluded, because they didn't have a plan for this. They didn't plan for this. You didn't know how this was going to unfold, and so you definitely don't know how to recover from it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God did and God does know how to comfort you. And as you surrender your pain and maybe surrender unforgiveness this morning, God wants to reveal, I believe, four promises that are true for you and every person who has ever been divorced, no matter where you're at on that journey. And that first promise is this, is that God's grace is enough. And you're going to see that as we go through this message today, that no matter where you're at, some of you are going to be able to relate. You're going to be able to connect with some of these points. And so what I want you to do is, like we've done throughout this entire series, that just because you might not be in one of these two categories, don't sit it to the side and say, well, okay, I'll just listen until we worship at the end. No, there's something in here. There's something rich that God has in store for you. God's grace is enough. And I want you to know God did not do this to you, and he's not mad at you. Here's the difficult part, is that divorce breaks the marriage covenant, a promise between you and your spouse and God. God hates divorce because it's a broken promise. It's a rebellion against him, and the Bible calls this sin. And we know that. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. But when Christians talk about divorce, we often miss an important distinction, that God hates divorce, but not the divorced. Do you hear me this morning? That God hates sin, but not the sinner. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You are so defeating yourself, and you're so just saturated in this pit of despair. Maybe not from divorce, but something else because of sin, and you are reaping the consequences, yes. But God is here to wrap his loving arms around you and say that I don't like the sin, I can't stand the sin, I hate the sin, because it moves you away from me. But I don't hate you. I love you more than you could ever imagine. God lavished his love upon us. Somebody needs to hear this today. Jesus died for us in the greatest act of love to his children while we were still sinners. Come on. You hearing me? Embrace grace today. Embrace grace today. The second promise is that God can give you the ability to be an overcomer. You can overcome the pain. You can overcome the anger. And you can overcome the sadness. You are a believer, you love Jesus, you believe your sins were forgiven, but you have no victory in your life today. There's no peace and there's no joy in your life, and I know that you crave it. I know that you desire that, and I feel condemned all the time. I just feel beat down, Ryan. You're worn out, you're burnt out, you're frustrated, you're miserable. The mistakes in your failed marriage have led you to feel this guilt, this baggage. You've put these labels that you've allowed to define you for a really long time, or however long, maybe still today. And I want you to hear Romans 8:1. I mean, I want you to hear Romans 8:1 this morning. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me say it again. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, moving forward starts by letting God in. Let him in. You have to make the choice. Nobody can make it for you. Am I going to believe God's word, or am I going to believe the negative thoughts that contradict God's word? The voice that we respond to will determine the future that we experience. It's your choice. If you keep hearing things that are clearly not from Jesus, who do you think is planting those thoughts in your mind? Who is it? Somebody name it. Rebuke him. Rebuke him. He's known for telling lies, and we're known for believing them. Rebuke it. Listen, Christian, follower of Jesus, we have a real enemy. We have a real enemy who wants nothing more than to allow you to wallow in the wreckage of your divorce or the wreckage of any other mistake. Moving forward starts by letting God in. Amen? The third promise to you this morning is that God can produce change. God can and will work through your divorce if you'll let him. Romans 8:28 says, "In all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." You see, for everything to work together for our good, God has to be in control of all things, as it says in Ephesians 4:6. Everything that happens to us is God allowed and God filtered. Every ounce of pain, every ounce of hurt, tears and emotions and anger pass through God's hand. He has allowed it to happen. So we can waste a lot of time asking why. So many people go their entire lives asking God, why? Why me? Why me when that is happening over there and I'm trying to do good and I'm trying to overcome this. I'm trying to heal. Why? You will be stuck in a circle of insanity if you keep asking why and instead realize that why doesn't change the fact that the divorce happened. But asking, what are you teaching me? What do you want to do in my life? What do you want me to have created in my life? What opportunities do you have for me? That can start a change in your heart that you never thought was possible. God can produce change. God can do anything. Some of you are in here today and you're looking at your spouses or your siblings or your friends or whomever may be a loved one in your life and you're like, that person's never gonna change. They're just never gonna learn. They're gonna continue to make mistake after mistake and it's hurting everybody around them. Why can't they open their eyes and realize, let me tell you something, I've seen it time and time and time again. God can and do and will all things. He can do all things. He will do all things. He can if we believe it, if we cherish him and we understand where change comes from, that it's not from our doing. So I want to tell somebody in here today, I don't know who you are, I don't know what you're dealing with, but God can change you, and God can change that person. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. The fourth promise today is that God has great plans for your life. God still wants to do great things in you and through you. Your divorce does not define you. I thought God was finished with me. I assumed he couldn't use me anymore because I was divorced. Because I was damaged goods. I felt like all these eyes were on me. Listen, if you're not dead, God's not done. Listen to me, all of us today. If you're not dead, all of you, no matter where you're at, no matter what you got going on, if you're breathing in here today, God's not done with you. He's not done with you. Jeremiah 29:11. Say it. Stop. Sound like we were throwing out some tongues there for a moment. Here we go. For I know, read it with me, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You see, your healing and happiness is only possible because of Jesus. So what's the point of a Savior if there's nothing to be rescued from? We all need to be rescued from ourselves and all the lies that we tend to believe. And though the promise of God's word and the relationships that you can build in this church, sometimes we miss those. But you can be free and healed from God's word. Those relationships that you can develop in your group life. So listen, God's grace is for you. You are not condemned. God can bring change if you allow him, and he still has incredible plans for your life. I want to pray for those of you that have experienced divorce. And I realize some of you, you were divorced through biblical standards. You have biblical justification for your divorce. There's only a couple reasons, and we're not going to get into that. I'd love to talk to you about it if you want to know what they are. But don't ever see them as an option. Some of you, you're better now. You're healed. But some of you are not. And I want to pray for you before we move on to some helps towards healing for those that are grieving the loss of a spouse. Father, we come to you this morning, and I just want to pause. Just want to create some space this morning for people to hear you, to feel you, to experience you. A lot of time in our services, we don't like this idle silence. But it's one of the most important things that we need. Our lives are so chaotic that it's hard to hear you through the noise. So Holy Spirit, fill us and do in us as only you can. And I pray this morning for my divorced friends that they would leave here acknowledging that their title is not a divorced individual but a follower of Jesus Christ, a child of God whom you care greatly for. Father, I pray that they would embrace grace and cling to these promises that you give us in your word. God, help them to not wrestle with your love, but to be completely open to your love being lavished upon them. To do in them what only we know you can do. Bless them this day. Help them to heal. Help them to take the steps to get plugged into community, to build positive relationships. And Father, I pray that they would hear the words today. Go. Live free and not condemned. We place them before you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So often when a spouse dies, you're left with a grief that is so overwhelming, you wonder if you'll ever find your way out. What do I do in this time of deep sorrow? And you have questions that arise. What do I do now? Am I going crazy? Or is it normal for me to feel this way? Shouldn't I be able to fly solo through this new loss? How long does the grief last? What do I do when now that my world is turned upside down, I don't know which way to turn? I just want to provide three helps because I know there's no amount of sermon prep, there's no amount of a series that could provide the necessary healing. But I believe that this isn't just for those of you that have lost a spouse. But I know there's people in here that are still grieving the loss of a loved one. And I know these points will still apply to you. And some of you, you're not there, but you can help people in your life that are experiencing this loss with these points, with these three helps towards healing. And the first one is to lean into Jesus. Just lean into Jesus. Grief is not weakness or lack of faith. Do you hear me? Your grieving is not a weakness or a lack of faith. It is the consequence of some awesome love. Therefore, lean into the one who understands the greatest. As it says in Psalm 34:18, he promises, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Even when we go through a deep valley of sorrow, Jesus does not leave us there. Deuteronomy 31:6 assures us that God will not leave us or forsake us. I want you to hear this morning, you are not alone. You're not alone. You're never alone. Lean into Jesus, but also number two is lean into your faith. Philippians 4:6-7 provides an antidote for our anxious thoughts that occur while we're grieving. It says, do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You see, time with God can help you overcome anxiety and experience the peace that you crave. And that's the only place that you're going to receive it, is finding that quiet place that's free from distractions, where you can read, where you can reflect, where you can pray. And during that time, writing in a blank journal is one of the most effective ways to work through your grief. Whether you're feeling weary, relieved, confused, frustrated, or whatever, getting your unfiltered thoughts onto paper is excellent therapy. All right, in addition, creating a memory box or scrapbook, asking others to contribute, is a helpful way to remember and honor the impact of your spouse and the life that they lived. And the third thing is to lean into time. Grief takes as long as it takes. Some of you feel so much pressure to move on. Yeah, you're supposed to experience life, live life to its fullest, but you're human. Your emotions were created by God. You loved that person with an awesome love. You're not just going to move on. Right? You hearing me? Grief takes as long as it takes. Don't rush the process, but live life and keep surrendering to Jesus. It is perfectly okay to always miss the spouse you lost or miss the loved one that you lost. One expert puts it this way: closure is for bank accounts, not for love accounts. Amen? So if you're missing someone greatly today, how many of you would be honest? Not necessarily a spouse, but someone in your life you've lost and you miss them. A lot of us. As long as you are alive, you will work through seasons of grief. But the hope that we have in Jesus is that this life is not all that there is. One day, we will know how it feels to never go through grief again. Hallelujah. Come on. Revelation 21:4 is an incredibly encouraging promise for those who know and love Jesus. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Say that again, because I may have to like imagine I'm in Mississippi preaching to my brothers and sisters to help me a little bit. All right? So I'm going to say that again, because that should do something here. He will wipe away. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Hallelujah. You hear me? When we grieve, we admit that we need help, and we open ourselves up to experiencing God's presence in the midst of the pain. But you don't have to grieve your loss alone. Get plugged into a group. Get plugged into people. Don't go about it alone. Grieve, but not alone. The bottom line is today, the gospel gives us hope when our hearts get broken. All of you are going to experience heartbreak, not necessarily just from divorce or death, but all of us are going to experience heartbreak. The gospel of Jesus Christ gives us hope when our hearts get broken. You are complete and only complete in Christ alone. And so as the band comes forward, this is what I want us to do. I want us to have a special prayer time. If you would be willing, if you would be honoring to the Lord and the emotions that He's placed on your heart right now today, that if you are in a spell of discouragement due to divorce, that you would let someone pray for you, that you would trust in the power of the only one who can set you free and forward. And if you are here today and you are grieving the loss of a loved one, you are grieving the loss of a spouse, don't grieve alone, but let your church family love on you. Nobody has to know why you come forward and get on your knees. If you can't get on your knees, just sit here or sit in the front. But so often I think we're afraid to get up and respond out of obedience because it's still not obedience. We're still freaking out over what everybody else thinks. Who cares? Who cares? I'm not here to please you, and you better not be here to please me. We're here to please one and only one, and his name is Jesus. And he's got something incredible for every single person. But we've got to open ourselves up. We've got to quit holding on. We've got to quit fighting against it. If that's you, you know who you are. Why are you waiting for me? Go. Come on. Get up now.
Well, you know, we're used to church where you got to pray. It's where everybody's eyes are closed and they're not looking at me. And by the time they open their eyes, I'm already down here. And it's kind of, you know, it's not awkward anymore. And so
get over that. If you feel the Holy Spirit moving and stirring, why in the world are you still in your seat? Don't wait for me to pray. Don't wait for the music to start playing. The Holy Spirit doesn't work on our schedule. He doesn't work on our planning center. He doesn't work according to the things that we've put in place for the services. He works in his own time. Amen? So let's respond accordingly. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for healing, the ability to heal, the ability to be in a place where we can overcome pain. And God, to be with a Savior who can help us through the grieving. So Lord, as we have this time of prayer focus, for healing, unforgiveness, and grieving, I pray the church family would respond as only the body of Christ can. And it's in your extraordinary name that we commit and surrender these things. Amen.